This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
Wow, what a song that was. That was an absolutely fantastic song.
We were moving and shaking.
We all had a move and a shake, and while we were, Joel Creasy just happened to drop in.
Wow.
Huh?
Hello. Hi. Hello. I know. How's that for timing?
Right?
No. I know.
You're listening to Laugh Out Proud.
With Z and G.
On Joy 94.9. And look, Joel, thank you so much for just dropping in like
You're
that.
You're so welcome. I like a sexy late show.
Yeah. Yes.
Like anything goes, right?
Anything can go.
Fantastic.
So that's why you have the buttons down.
I'm ready to party.
It's ready
really
for,
very
yeah.
relaxed.
Yeah.
If this was morning, I'd be all done up. But no, it's, you know, late at night. No. So I'm basically half nude.
I think it is early morning. I'm always pedantic that midnight means it's early morning.
Oh yeah, fair. Yeah, but if you're still going, it's still, you know, a night out.
It's still the night.
The
I guess.
Sleep
yeah.
is what separates it, right?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I can stretch a night out over days. If
that's
I'm
it. So you've come just after your show tonight.
Yeah,
your show's just been going on. Has it been a very busy festival season for you?
It's been, yeah, it has been full on. Yeah. Every year you kind of forget how intense the Melbourne Comedy Festival is, but it's so much fun. Like, I really can't complain. People go, oh my God, you must be so tired. And I go, yeah, I'm really tired. And then I think, hang on, I do an hour's work a night, and all I do in that hour is just kind of stand on stage and talk about celebrities.
Yeah.
So it's really not that hard. Some people have like manual labour jobs.
True, but I mean, you know, coming up with the material and the jokes.
Well, at the same time, the story, my stand-up's just all about me. So I literally just tell stories about myself. So there's just things that happened to me in the past year. So even coming up with that's not too hard. I'm really underselling myself, aren't I?
No. You don't need to. Well, the writing, though, in particular, I mean, you know, the stories, you say, but do you write them down? Is there a writing process that goes?
Well, most
that
do. Yep. I kind of just dot point them because they're all kind of like, they're like dinner party stories. That's how I just describe them. Like, you know, when something funny happens to you at a dinner party and you go there that night and tell it. It's like six of those in a row, my hour show. So, there's like literally, no, I could not hand the script to someone and they could perform it for me. There's no one that, but there's like, it's just six plot points on a piece of paper.
Do you ever dial it up to 11? Do you ever go from real life to just...
Everything gets a little bit embellished, yes. Yeah, and there's, you know, certain things that you have to tweak. There's one or two stories I've told over the years that are like, my friends were there at the night. They're like, when did that happen at that party? I was like, shh, don't say anything.
Yeah, you never let the truth get in a good way of the story.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, God, yeah. That's been me my whole life as well, even since I was little.
Now, you're the acid tongue prince. Is that self-appointed or did someone give that?
No, a review called me it. And I think they
thought... Who was it? Throw him under the bus.
It was like The Age or someone,
something
like that.
Who needs
and years ago. And they think they thought in it, you know, I was going to take it in a negative way. And I was like, I'm royalty. Okay. And I took it and I named my first DVD it and it sort of stuck. And I kind of love it.
It's a good way to be.
I know. Absolutely. Acid tongue prince. I mean, I don't know what that says about me, but yeah, I'll take it.
But you are Perth-based comic?
I am Perth. I'm from Perth. I'm a Perthanality. But I've lived in Melbourne for like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
But my
okay.
parents are still in Perth. So, you know, I go up every now and then just to check the mum's, you know, still alive.
So did you... 7 years. Have you been in the comedy game for 7 years?
I've been doing it 10 years.
10 years?
Oh. Yeah, so I started comedy. But a lot of comics came out of Perth, like Dave Hughes, Judith Lucy, myself, Tim Minchin, Claire Hooper. Wow. There's a good, you know, it's a good place to start,
for
Perth.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then some people that are really bad too. But hey, you know, we don't need to mention them.
And you've been in the South African jungle with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
How does that compare to Perth?
Oh my God, there's more happening in the South African jungle. Like, there's more stars in the South African jungle. At least Marsha Brady's there. They're similar. You know, it's a similar sort of very hot, very sweaty, and not a lot of entertainment.
Is it a real jungle? Because I'm sitting at home thinking they could have just put this in a studio.
Well, you're
or
actually,
have you signed a contract?
You are actually are in it's the Blue Mountains. No, you actually are in South Africa, but they actually don't. They don't call it the jungle. I think the locals are a bit offended that there's no jungle in South Africa, but it is in the South African wilderness.
Okay,
but jungle just sounds like a better word for marketing. Yeah. But yeah, you genuinely are there, and you genuinely are left to your own devices to live with these 11 other dickheads, and go, oh my God, Murph Hughes, please shut up. Like, that is your life, and you never see the producers. It's kind of like Big Brother.
Oh wow,
yeah.
So going back to Perth, though, you know, so the first 3 years of your comedy career were out there.
Yeah.
Did you like the spots, open mic stuff?
Yeah, I did open mic. My first gig I did as part of this Raw comedy competition.
Mm-hmm. Were you in Raw?
Yeah, I was in Raw. Yeah, I made the state final. I lost to Laura Davis, who's still doing really well. And my first, actually my first stand-up was, I didn't really do stand-up. I did a character.
Yeah, right on.
So yeah. Embarrassed telling people because I haven't done it since. he was this flight attendant called Glenn Suave. And he was this like awful Qantas flight attendant hell-bent on taking over the world. And that was like my first stand-up bit. And now I've dumped that. Well,
how, did it, but, how did it go?
Well, it did okay to make the state finals, but then it just never worked again after. I was like, no, let's just go and do real stand-up.
Oh, so you played that character for
Raw? I played
the
character for Raw, yeah. Wow. And then still to this day, my mum's like, you should do that character again. I'm like, shut up, mum. Like,
maybe you could write it into a TV show or something.
I know, right? Maybe. Huh? Imagine I've been sitting on that character all these years and he's my ticket to
it's been growing.
To ABC or SBS, if you're listening. Look, Joel has something to pitch.
Absolutely, yes. Glenn Suave, the flight attendant. Oh, God.
Sounds like a good time. I mean,
misadventures.
Yeah,
precisely. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I did that. And then I just like played a lot of like pubs in Perth. But I started when I was 16. So I used to have to, my parents used to have to take me to these gigs and sign me in, which is very rock and roll, having the drunk mother at the back of the room. When your mother's the heckler, that's a weird day.
Did you, because I mean, I know a few rooms around here, open mic rooms, pay you in drinks.
Absolutely.
That you get. Well, yeah,
then I have to give my mum the drinks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Could you not trade it in for a soda, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Go wild on Pepsi.
Yeah.
Oh, then I remember I still got my first paycheck as well.
Oh,
my mum was like, you should save your first paycheck. It was $50 for doing a stand, like a 10-minute stand-up spot. Oh,
that's also good on it.
It was
good
really good.
That's the $50. Frame on the wall, you know?
Yeah, I've got the check. I'm going to have it framed. Actually, I don't know where it is. Oh, I'm going to fall. Or, you know, if I ever check it in, I know I've, you know, fallen on hard times.
Yes.
So, you came from Perth.
Yes.
What made you decide to come to Melbourne?
Well, I was like, I got a manager when I was 19, okay. And he was like, "You've got to get out of Perth if you want to make it, baby."
Yeah.
And he was like, "You can pick Sydney or Melbourne." And I came to Melbourne because Wicked the Musical's on. That is literally the reason I moved to Melbourne. I was like, "Well, Wicked the Musical's on in Melbourne, so I'll go there."
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I've seen better productions.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm quite good friends with Lucy Durack, who played Glinda, and I thought she was amazing. And I remind her that every time I see her. I'm like, you know, when I was like 17, 18, 19, I used to fly to Melbourne to see you in Wicked. And she's like, great, thanks for making me feel super old.
So you tour, obviously, all around Australia.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what are the worst towns? But really?
Yeah,
okay.
There you go. I wonder about that. Yeah, Colac, yeah. Awful. No. Yeah, Victoria, yeah.
So what are they? Are they just not receptive at all?
Well, they were a town that chased me out of the town many years ago. What? They were, yeah, some homophobic hood rats chased me out of the town. But I then went back with Reese Nicholson, my very good friend, and a film crew for the ABC, and made a documentary to discover whether Colac was homophobic or not. Spoiler alert.
It is.
They're just, but you know, then there's other places. You know, I normally like playing small country towns because they're super appreciative.
Okay,
sometimes
yeah.
In Melbourne we can be so snobby and so overindulged.
We're spoiled for choice here. Yeah.
Absolutely. You can go out and see Judith, Lucy and Husey and Denise any night of the week in Melbourne trying out material, and you know, everyone in Melbourne feels like they're like a comedy expert.
That's right.
Like, just shut up and laugh. That's it.
you're in Melbourne now. When so did you hit rooms up, open mics here?
Lots of open mic here. I had a manager. I did the Comedy Festival Roadshow quite a bit all around Australia.
Wow.
And then I got Joan Rivers saw my stand-up, and that's when I started working with her in America as her support act. And she really kind of accelerated things for me super quickly. Wow. So
what was it like working with Joan?
Oh, amazing. So down to earth, so gorgeous, so lovely, and really educational.
Yeah.
It was like a religious experience watching her do stand-up. She was so amazing and so humble.
Did you open for her?
Yeah, I opened for her. Wow. Yeah, for a couple of years.
How did she see you?
She saw it by chance. It was one of those things that you like read in a book. By chance, she was in her manager's office one day, and her manager was looking after me at the time. Her American manager was looking after me, and he was cutting up a showreel for me. And she walked past his computer while they were cutting it up. Wow. She goes, "Who's that?" And they're like, and she's like, "Play it, play it." And they played a bit of my stand up, and she's like, "All right, get him over here, get him over here." So 10 days later, the next day I got a call, and then 10 days later I was in New York opening for Joan Rivers.
It's a real loss, losing her in the comedy.
Well,
world.
I was with her the night before she went into
the
coma.
No, really,
yeah, with her, and she was you know, completely fit and able.
Yeah,
and she was just going in for a standard procedure the next day. She was meant to be getting on a flight that night to then fly to LA the next day to film Fashion Police. So she was like so fine.
Jeez,
yeah, it was so sad.
Well, it was a complicated. Can they sue?
I think they have. I think they Melissa have. Has successfully. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. It was such a waste. And I also, in with like the current like political state of the world, I'm like, oh, I really miss Joan Rivers. I don't know. I feel less safe without her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How she would be in Trump's America.
Well, you know, she was on Celebrity Apprentice as well. Mm. She won his Celebrity Apprentice. So I'd love to know what she thinks. Women should obviously hate him, but I would, you know, I would have loved to have heard her, what she had to say about him.
But Joel, can you stick around for one more?
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well,
I'll get my sleeping bag.
Awesome. We'll have a groove to this song. Wow. Joel had some dance moves that I have never, ever seen before in my life.
Self-trained as well.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I believe it. You're listening to Laugh Out Proud.
With Z and G.
On Joy 94.9. And we are so graced to be blessed and have Joel Creasy in the studio here.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming down. Thank
Sexy
you.
Late night. You know, I love it.
It is late night. It is, what, like 12:45 right now?
It's early or late.
Oh, it is so early.
This is
early.
I mean, I am a stand-up comedian. This is early. I've just finished work, so, you know.
Yeah.
What is your wind-down routine?
Wine done with wine. I love going out for dinner with friends. So if I've got friends in, I love to go out for dinner. If I'm on tour, it'll normally be going out for dinner with my tour manager or manager. So we'll see if we've got anything left to say to each other. I don't mind a party. I mean, I'm only 26, so if I'm on tour, I'll normally go out and hit the local night spots.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. So you haven't. So that means if you're chatting with your manager, you have a good relationship with your manager then to be able to go out to dinner with them.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. She's amazing. But like I've also got like a tour manager on the road at the moment. He's just a really good friend of mine who's been working for me for a while. So it's like really great. We've known each other for ages.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what were like the best like times you had during not blowing up?
Like
the best.
Like beforehand?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really loved doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival Roadshow. So that's when you tour with four other comedians.
How do you get into that?
You have to perform at Melbourne Comedy Festival and then they sort of select it and they send like five really strong acts on a tour and around the place.
Right.
So I got to do Asia with them. And this was just, that was kind of just before, well, that was maybe 2013. I did this tour of Asia and Hong Kong and Singapore and Kuala Lumpur. And it was really fun in Hong Kong. Myself, Anne Edmonds and Luke McGregor went and judged a karaoke competition at a Hong Kong gay bar. And it was really fun, but we didn't realise how, we'd had a few drinks beforehand, we didn't realise how serious the contestants were going to take it. And they're like begging us to put them through.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're just kind of giving them, like, none of us can sing. We're just giving like dumb feedback, but it was the most hilarious night.
What, were they trying to buy you drinks to?
Yeah,
to
absolutely bribe us. We didn't realise what a big deal it was for them.
What was the prize?
It was like, we were like judges of like a semi-final, then they went through to like another final, and I don't know.
Like some contract or something.
Yeah, it was something weird. It was something pretty major. It was hilarious though. And I was like, what am I doing here in Hong Kong?
Does comedy translate well into other countries, especially other continents?
I mean, America, I know it does because I've worked there so much and I sort of learned a lot off Joan. But to be honest, the UK, not great. Like,
really?
I mean, I've done London, that's fine. I get a lot of expats, but I did Edinburgh and had a terrible season there. And I just come off the back of doing I'm a Celebrity. I'd had an amazing tour through Australia. I was like really on a high. And then when I did Edinburgh, and it was like such a ego check. And like no one was coming. It was a really tough festival. And this, you know, there's like $3,000 other shows. And the comedy wasn't really translating. So not going back there.
Wow. So you already only did Edinburgh one time?
I've only
one
done
time?
It once.
One
and
time,
I've
that?
Got no plans to go back. That was 2015.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm done with Edinburgh, I reckon.
Yeah.
But you're not done.
Who needs
with
them?
Europe.
No.
Obviously coming up some exciting adventures.
Yes, I'm off to Eurovision in like 3 weeks. So I just got all my flights through today. So Miff Warhurst and I have replaced the gorgeous Julie Zemira and Sam Pang. They resigned with the new host of Eurovision. So I'm very excited.
Wow.
Going to Ukraine.
Hello,
Kiev.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where the competition is this year.
What is a chicken Kiev? I don't understand.
It's garlic butter.
Yeah, it's garlic butter. They're actually not from Kiev either. I think there might be like an Australian invention.
Is Kiev angry about the
I don't even
name?
Know if they know. I asked Julia Morris, the comedian Julia Morris, who's been there, and she said that she was making that joke when she was there and they didn't know what she was talking about.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
Legwork's been done for us.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah, precisely.
So much so it's made it part of a set.
Yeah, totally. Now I want some. but yeah, I'm really excited to go there. And we're going with the gorgeous Isaiah is the Australian contestant this year. He's 17 and very good singer. But I've been listening to a few of the songs today from the other countries. I'm really liking the Netherlands.
Oh, really?
Yes, I really like Romania. I have got this like cool yodel rap song.
Yodel rap? What a combination.
It sounds ridiculous. Once you listen to it, you go... this is actually all right.
Is there a few stinkers that have come through and you're like, I'm
there's,
I'm
yeah, there's
to
a few,
sleep.
But then when they're bad, I just don't bother looking at where they're from. But there's a few like, oh, I've heard that sort of power ballad before. But otherwise, there's some really big numbers. Anya Nissen, who won The Voice here a few years ago, she's representing Sweden this year. So technically, we've got two Aussies. Total traitor.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's the hosting process?
Well, we get there, we sort of watch all the dress rehearsals, we're there commentating, so we're in the box next, like that Graham Norton's there for the UK, every country has their own commentators, and we kind of do backstage interviews with all the stars, but it's my first year, so I'll be learning on the go as well, and then we're live into Australia, like early in the morning.
Can you reveal who's saying our votes?
I don't know. I would guess it's Lee Lin Chin again. She's done it every year for the SBS, and she's so popular, so I believe it's her. Yeah, I love me some Lee Lin.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Your favourite Eurovision songs of the past? Have you looked at their back catalogue?
I mean, Euphoria by Loreen is my favourite. But to be honest, Dami Im last year I thought was bloody fantastic. She was so, so good. I think a bit robbed. But Australia couldn't win it second year, let's be honest. So,
Oh, and we're not actually allowed to broadcast it, which is the shame. You have to share it with the country.
I know. Mm. So, yeah, exactly. It was going to go to Germany, I believe, if Dami had won. So, but yeah, I think Isaiah's got a really good chance this year, so I'm excited. And I think, you know, he's going to be a surprise package because people are 17-year-old. I'm like, yeah, but wait till you see, hear his voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, like, in the earlier comedy festivals.
Yeah.
What venues did you play at?
So I started in this venue called the Kitten Club, which is not there anymore. Yeah, but it was like, it wasn't festival managed, and I had to produce it myself. I lost like $15,000 the first festival. This was 2010. My show was called Slumber Party. It was a terrible show. But that's where like my first manager saw me and picked me up. And then, the next year I played like a cupboard in the Forum Theatre. It was like that fit like 25 people. There was no ventilation. Someone fainted one night. Then the next year I played like a 40, 45 seater. So, yeah, it's like a gradual step up. And now I'm down at, I'm at Max Watts.
Back there.
So, which is the old hi-fi. So that's great. That's like 500 seats. And it's such a fun venue to play every night. And literally it's meters away from the Kitten Club, which was my first venue, where I was playing to 2-3 people a night each night. So I definitely do have a pinch myself every night when I look out the crowd and see people coming and to see me.
Do you remember the worst heckler you ever had? Bar the run out of town. Bar Colac.
Well, I think it was my mum. Well, there was one night where my mum did get kicked out because she was so drunk. And I was like, I could hear there was like a bit of a kerfuffle at the back of the room. And I was like, bring the lights up. What's going on? And I saw it was my mum and security escorting around. I was like, okay, bring the lights down. But I can't. Otherwise, I've not had particularly bad heckles. I talk very fast on stage and there's no breathing space. No one has time to get in.
Do you have like the stock like rebuttals, you know,
there's
you go
all the
back
stock rebuttals that you go, you hear them and you go, oh, I've got to remember that for the next time I have a heckler, and then you don't get one for ages, and then you've forgotten and you just end up swearing at them and it's never that good.
Does it still startle you, like, you know,
a heckler? Yeah, not really. Oh, they do, because I don't get them very often. But I also don't mind them. Like, I don't really like them in my solo shows because I'm trying to get through and tell stories and perform a show, like an hour show that all kind of ties together at the end, whereas in like a club spot, like at a comedy club, fine, heckle away, bring it on.
Oof. So opening for Joan.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Well, she got hecklers, and she was amazing with hecklers, and I learned a lot off her, and her response rate was faster than, you know, comics in their 20s.
Really?
You know, she's, you know, at 81, I saw her, you know, shutting down hecklers within, like, you know, a split second.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess she would be prone to.
She was just so match fit, and she performed stand up so often.
Yeah.
She loved performing it. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to perform at, say, in America, say, like the Comedy Store?
Yeah, I performed at the Comedy Store in LA, and the Improv, which is their other really famous one.
Yeah.
And then in New York, I performed at the Comedy Cellar.
The Cellar, how's that?
Which is kind of the most prestigious venue there. Amazing. So that's the venue I'll always play when I go back. Then there's also the Comic Strip, I've performed there. But the Cellar's and Gotham. But Cellar's really, the Cellar's like the cool club at the moment. I performed there with, like, one night I was on before Amy Schumer and after Margaret Cho, and Ray Romano was on, and Judd Apatow. And I was like the only non-famous person on. And it was great, though, because normally being the famous person on a lineup works in your favour because you're the famous person on a lineup.
Yeah.
But when the whole lineup's famous and you're the non-famous person, the audience really get on your side. Oh. And New Yorkers are the best audiences.
Yeah, really?
They're really great. They're really smart and savvy. They know their comedy there, but they're also American in that they're super appreciative.
The majority say that it's like the toughest audience to...
Oh, I don't know. I like them. Maybe. Yeah? I don't know. LA's a bit tougher, I think.
Really?
They're a bit more laid back. They're not as bright as New York. New York's just super, they're just super savvy.
Okay, yeah.
They're on it.
And you've got this show, Poser.
Yes.
Give us the elevator spiel if we ever meet you in an elevator.
Yeah, it's just about, literally, it's just my, like my show is every year. It's just about celebrities I've had run-ins with in the last year, silly things that have happened to me, and just my attempts at just trying to get famous. Because, you know, a lot of comics say, like, oh, I'm in this for the craft, and I'm in this for the laughs, and I'm not. I'm in this for free stuff.
So, yeah, right on.
And fame.
Are Oscar-winning Australians safe this year?
Oscar-winning Australians. Oh, do I take... No, well, Russell Crowe's safe this year. He's out of the act. He was a big staple of my act last year. Who do I go after this year? The Irwins. they're fair game. Who else? Jessica Mowboy, Richard Wilkins. Yeah, there's a few people up in the firing line. Chrissy Swan.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Friendly fire.
Apparently, she's pregnant with my baby, so I tell that story. According to New Idea, Chrissy Swan's pregnant with my child.
Wow. What a story just to come weird. Up with.
Weird.
Right?
Super weird. And, like, you know, it actually weirded us out for a bit, too.
Did you call them immediately, or your people
to tell
them?
No, because there's nothing you can do. Like, there is not, once it goes to print, there's nothing you can do. But me and Chrissy spoke. I'm like, where has this come from? And then there was this weird moment where we had the conversation and went, is this something? She was like, is this something you want to do? I was like, no, this is a new idea coming up. Like, it was so odd.
Does your mum Jenny read it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because my parents love those trash magazines as well. Like, they believe them. So that's the tough thing. When a magazine publishes something weird about me, that's not true. My parents believe them because they're in print. And my dad's favourite magazine is like Who. So they love that crap.
Right on. Well, you're playing at Max Watts?
I am. Every night at 8:15. It's good fun. I'm having a great time.
Joel Creasy Poser is the name of the show.
Correct. Guilty as charged.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Joel.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
We know it's early. We know.
I know. Yes. I'm ready to kick on.
Beautiful. Cool. Well, yeah, we might see you out.
Yeah, let's kick
and
on.
And where can we find you on the internet?
Well, you know, just Grindr. No, I'm just Joel Creasy on every platform. I love me some Instagram. I'm just big on Instagram story at the moment. I just updated the app.
Everything has a story now.
Everything has a story. Yeah, but I think Snapchat's a bit dead, right?
Oh,
and Facebook is coming up with their own story.
Specific things. Mm. I know Facebook's got Facebook story.
What's to do with that? I haven't tried it yet.
I know Twitter will have it next, but that'll just be silly.
Mm. Well, let's all go try and that Facebook story right now.
Absolutely.
All right, you're listening to Laugh Out Proud
with Z&G
on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.